This episode of To Your Good Health Radio is brought to you by Organifi. For years, I've been looking for a whole food, plant-based protein meal enhancement product with organic greens and fruits. One that tastes great and doesn't contain any artificial chemicals or sweeteners. I'm thrilled to tell you, my search has finally ended thanks to Organifi. These guys don't cut corners, folks. Their products offer select whole foods, natural vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, and MCT oils, which give you healthy fats that will keep you feeling full longer. Most people don't eat the recommended 5 to 9 servings of fruit and vegetables per day. Organifi can help you fill that void. Just add a scoop to water, apple juice, or almond milk, shake, and that's it. Easy, convenient, and mess-free. And their products taste amazing. Organifi is your source for organic plant-based products from whole food sources. Visit Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And type in promo code GOODHEALTH to receive 20% off your order. That's Organifi.com, promo code GOODHEALTH. Hi, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. When it comes to fast food, you probably think of burgers, fries, and burritos served at chain restaurants. But it also describes toxic human-engineered products found at grocery stores. These include breakfast cereals, deli meats, bread, chips, fried foods, energy bars, and soft drinks. Fast foods are the primary source of calories in the United States and the most destructive influence on our population. Dr. Joel Fuhrman joins us today to discuss how this national health crisis is turning into a fast food genocide. If you want to know how you can protect yourself and the ones you love, stay tuned. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a board-certified family physician, six-time New York Times best-selling author, and internationally recognized expert on nutrition and natural healing. He's appeared on hundreds of radio and television shows, including Good Morning America, Dr. Oz, and The Today Show. He's also shared his life-changing diet and nutritional advice to millions on four popular PBS specials. His latest book is called Fast Food Genocide, How Processed Food is Killing Us and What We Can Do About It. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Joel Fuhrman.
Thank you. Great to be here again.
Oh, great to have you back. Always a pleasure. First, tell us the meaning behind the title, Fast Food Genocide.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people recognize that these processed foods and fast foods are creating an epidemic of obesity and diabetes and heart disease, but I don't think they know the extent of it. They don't, and how it's increasing in America. In other words, areas of the country that eat more fast food, like in urban areas where they have food deserts, now have 7 times the risk of stroke for age 45 in other areas, 10 times the risk of heart attack in people who eat fast food more regularly than people who eat relatively healthfully comparatively. In other words, and they don't know that it's destroying our brain as well as our body. For example, 1 in 5 Americans are now mentally ill, have mental illnesses. And the link between fast food and processed baked goods, like even donuts and cookies and crackers and bagels, you know, white flour, sugar products, and fast food and depression, is even 2 servings a week doubles your lifetime risk of depression. And the other reason for the word genocide, which people don't recognize, is that we're destroying our genes, the epigenetic changes that occur to our genetic code from eating these frankenfoods that aren't designed for human consumption, affect our offspring and creating an epidemic of autism, learning disabilities, childhood cancers, autoimmune disorders, and problems that people are born with before they even had their first bite of fast food. And if I could say one more thing that people don't recognize is that these high glycemic and rapidly absorbed fast foods with all these synthetic ingredients are linked to drug abuse and crime. In other words, the foods themselves are addictive. It makes people obese and they can't stop eating them, destroying their potential for a happy, nice life. It lowers their intelligence. It keeps them craving food, almost like keeps them in prison with health problems. And then, on top of that, it increases their propensity for drug use and drug abuse. And the link between drug abuse and drug addiction and candy and fast food is better than the link between drug addiction and crime and poverty, or drug addiction and crime and bad parenting or lack of parenting. So there's a very strong relationship here. In other words, the damage permeates so many different aspects of our society, and the tentacles run deep, destroying our urban areas, taking away the ability of people to advance themselves economically and intellectually, and it's increasing bigotry and crime And it's very destructive to American society. And people just seeing the tip of the iceberg when we're seeing everybody become obese, you know?
Yeah, you sum it up nicely. That puts the frame of genocide right in the right perspective because you covered a whole gamut. I'm curious, when it comes to the millions that are suffering from diseases like cancer, heart disease, and strokes, what percentage do you feel is to blame on fast food consumption?
Well, that's a great question, by the way. But I have a radical answer to that.
Uh-huh.
Because, see, I think that heart disease and strokes can be totally wiped out in America. And I think there are countries where there are populations, like, for example, the Catawba Island study and more earlier populations, the blue zones, that show that heart disease and strokes virtually don't have to exist. In other words, I'm saying to you that with the advances in nutritional science, we could almost entirely wipe out heart attacks and strokes. So I'd say we could 100 times reduce the risk of heart attacks and strokes by 100 times. So I'd say 99.5% of heart attacks and strokes could be wiped out in America, and about 90% of cancers can be wiped out in America if we ate a diet of nutritional excellence. And it can
Wow.
be made to taste great. You know, so I'm making this radical claim. It seems so radical because people are brainwashed with wrong information. They think that, like, you know, heart attacks and strokes and dementia are inevitably from aging. It's predominantly genetic. My father had heart disease, and that my grandfather had a stroke, or my breast cancer runs in my family. They're taught by the media and by the conventional medical profession that these things are inevitable and we have to resort to drugs to protect ourselves. And it's really not true. And for example, there are countries around the world, and we can look at populations that have 1/20th the amount of breast cancer that we have in this country. It's not genetic. When those people move to America, they still develop the rate of breast cancer that we do. Even in America itself, there are areas with double the rate of breast cancer compared to other parts of the country that eat differently. So it's really tremendously what's dependent on what we're eating in our body. And we're not going to wipe out cancer with a magic pill. And I was like saying, okay, we can smoke 3 packs a day. And we're going to give billions of dollars. We're going to win the war on lung cancer. We're going to give people this magic drug so they can smoke 3 packs a day and not get lung cancer. It's not going to happen. And the same thing with breast cancer. We can't eat sweets and meats and cheeses and donuts and not eat the natural foods with the phytochemicals and anti-cancer, antioxidants, and say, okay, we're going to invent a pill so we can take all the harmful fast foods that are going to cause cancer, and we're going to take this pill and not get cancer. It's just, it's almost like, mythical thinking that we're
right.
going to wipe it, that we're going to beat it with a pill instead of just beating it with good health habits.
That's great. I know many fast food restaurants are now jumping on the healthier option train, and I say seemingly because it's not always the case. I know McDonald's Double Big Mac actually contains less calories, less grams of fat, and less salt than a McDonald's salad. So, Doc, for busy people with a 30-minute lunch break, is there anything fast and healthy they can reach for?
Well, yeah, and I see some fast food options that are not so bad. I saw the other day, I think, a bean chili in a quinoa bowl in a fast food restaurant. And of course, where I'm from in the Northeast, in New York City, there's these salad restaurants all over the place. You have like a chopped salad with nuts on them, and they pick from what dressings you like. And there's a lot of healthy options out there in major cities. But, you know, if you don't live near a place that have those fast food options, you got to make your own. You know,
right.
We make a big pot of soup on the weekend with a lot of beans in it and spices, and we made a mushroom barley soup last weekend, and make a pea lentil soup or whatever vegetable, you know, making these delicious soups, and I pack it up for the whole week, and I'll make a salad dressing, a homemade salad dressing. But you know, there are there's options, and I think that as the public becomes more informed and educated, I think there, and they stop buying fast food and start putting their money towards healthier options, then these places open up and people will, you know, in the past, these places went out of business because nobody bought the healthy food. They wanted the junk food, but we
right.
got to stop buying the junk food and start purchasing healthy options. And obviously, people will rise to meet the demand for that, you know, if we change our attitudes and food preferences.
And you make up such a good point about, you know, if you're busy during the week, on the weekend, you cook some stuff, you put it in the freezer and refrigerator, and you bring it to work. And, you know, I don't know anybody's job who doesn't have a microwave oven or stove or refrigerator. Bring it with you. You don't have to go to these drive-thrus.
That's right. And it's just to, you know, of course there's effort involved, but with anything that has tremendous value, there's always some effort involved. And there's no difference. We can make it taste great. We can make incredibly delicious, healthy foods. I even love to make ice cream, you know, by taking some frozen bananas, whipping it up with a handful of macadamia nuts or walnuts with a little bit of vanilla bean powder, real vanilla bean that's ground. It tastes so delicious. You only need something to sweeten it. But if I was adding like cocoa powder to it, because it's a little bitter, I'd add a little date in there. But you know, the point I'm making is that you know, in my books, in Fast Food Genocide, even though it's a lot of, it's not just negative information, it's also a lot of positive information about the, how we can have great health, how we can actually improve our emotional outlook, our life, our creativity, and our intelligence, how we can protect our brains, and how we can make food taste great and delicious and still enjoy it, enjoy great health. So it's not just like, you know, bashing what's bad, but also saying, right, well, you know, delicious food, the healthy food can taste delicious. It's very powerful. It can therapeutically be your most effective intervention to reverse disease, to get rid of your high blood pressure and high cholesterol and diabetes, become non-diabetic, become thin again, you know, really, and make food taste great in the process. So it's not just right. about giving up. It's about making these changes that are really powerful.
Right. I know in your book you use the term nutritarian diet. Share with the listeners what that entails.
Well, it means a diet very rich in nutrients, both in the amount of nutrients and the wide spectrum. So we have a huge variety of nutrients. And people, I think a lot of people know the term today, phytochemicals. And right. that means that the micronutrients in foods are not just vitamins and minerals. There's also thousands of different phytochemicals that are important for human immune system and for protection against later life cancer. And it's the wide exposure to these anti-cancer phytochemicals that extend human lifespan and slow the aging process that can make a diet therapeutically so valuable for reversing disease. And also, phytochemicals don't just protect against cancer, but they protect the brain from aging, and they prevent dementia. And because the brain is a continual need for antioxidants. So what I'm saying here is that a nutritarian diet, I have this acronym, is rich in certain foods that have been proven to extend human lifespan and prevent cancer. And that acronym is called GBOMBS, G-B-O-M-B-S, which stands for greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds. I want people to eat some seeds in their oatmeal in the morning. I want them to put some mushrooms into their soup. I want them to put some scallion or onion on their salad, because when we look at the data on these foods, they've been shown to have dramatic effects to prevent later life cancer because of the phytochemicals they contain.
Right. Plus, all of those give your body, you know, satisfaction, your cells. I know in your book you say the lower the nutrients in your food, the more you crave. Is that why everybody wants to supersize their portions when eating at fast food restaurants? It's really empty calories?
It's empty calories, but it's also because the calories rush through the bloodstream so rapidly. In other words, one of the aspects or features of fast food is like when you have oil, like a French fry, mm-hmm. your calories enter the bloodstream in 3 to 5 minutes. So you might have absorbed 250 to 300 calories in just 5 minutes. Whereas if you ate a bean, it would take 3 to 4 hours to absorb those 250 calories. You're only absorbing like a couple of calories a minute as opposed to 100 calories a minute. So we're talking about oil and sweets and fried potatoes and, you know, and white bread. They absorb so rapidly. And the rapid concentration of calories entering the bloodstream signals dopamine in the brain, the same as if you had snorted cocaine or smoked an opiate. And the point is that over time you become dopamine insensitive, and you require a bigger amount of calories to get the same effect, the same pleasurable
right.
effect. So it makes people into food addicts. And then when they try to stop doing it, they feel shaky and weak and fatigued, because when the digestive tract is not digesting, your body starts to eliminate the buildup of metabolic waste, especially the advanced glycation end products. These glycated moieties, in other words, we're saying that on top of the cells, we get attachments, glucose molecules attached to the cells, and we try to get rid of it and we're not eating. We start to feel fatigued, and we feel better if we eat again, so people don't have to keep eating food just to feel okay. So it makes them not comfortable in a non-feeding state. So every addiction has a high when you take the addiction and a low when you try to stop the addiction. Like when you stop smoking, when you stop snorting, just taking opiates, you feel shaky and itchy and irritable. Well, the same right. thing, you stop eating fast food, you feel fatigued, you feel stomach cramping, you feel headachy. They feel better if they just keep eating it. They got to keep eating all day long, so they have to become overweight. So it definitely has the features of a real addiction.
Wow. I have something I want to share that I witnessed at a restaurant last week and get your feedback. A lady at the table next to me took a salt shaker, Doc, and for one full minute, she poured salt all over her meal. But here's the kicker. She didn't taste it first to see if it even needed any salt. What's your take on people salting over-salted foods? Is that an issue?
Of course. I mean, salt, you know, because people think, oh, my blood pressure's okay, I can have salt. That's not true. Salt, it causes microvascular hemorrhages. In other words, it damages the interior wall of your blood vessel. Outside of the fact that it raises blood pressure, it still damages the blood vessel's walls, weakening them and increasing your propensity to have a stroke, even out of normal blood pressure. And since 90% of Americans eventually develop high blood pressure, just because your blood pressure is normal now and using salt doesn't mean it's not going to change. The tone's going to change in the future, and your use of salt over the years is going to create a high blood pressure state that's going to happen right. later on in your life. So it's definitely, and the more you use salt, the more it deadens your taste for salt, so the more you need. And in the process, it deadens your, it deadens the full symphony of flavors and taste that you can enjoy. So now a strawberry has no flavor. A cashew nut tastes flat. An avocado taste has no taste. Nothing has flavor. Celery doesn't taste sweet. Lettuce, you know, celery has sweet and sour flavor, but people can't taste it because they're so used to eating salt and sugars. They don't even understand the natural salts and sugars that are so, that are actually have flavor in natural foods because they've deadened their taste buds. So this person who's salted their food so much, they can't enjoy an apple even because they've deadened their taste so much, you know?
That's crazy. I know you brought up a fact that you just briefly touched over. I want to go back on that. You share in your book the link between the consumption of fast food and increasing criminal behavior, drug use, and violence. Share with us the connection.
That's right. What I'm saying clearly here is that the American diet can damage the human brain because people understand that they damage their pancreas, their liver, their blood vessels, their heart. But they don't understand that your brain is a very vulnerable organ. And you don't just get high blood pressure and not get brain damage. And some of the brain damage that occurs is anger and violence and bad decision making and illogical behavior. You know, we know back from the 1950s, the 1850s when people had deficient diets with pellagra, they would become violent, homicidal, and suicidal from the lack of niacin in the diet. And now we're seeing this all over again. We're seeing more crime in areas of the country that are more overweight and more diabetic. We saw more crime and murders. But the biggest attraction is we're talking about the addictive nature of food being a gateway drug to more brain-stimulating behaviors. And now the number one source that the majority of people who are incarcerated in federal prisons today are there because of nonviolent drug-related offenses.
Wow.
And I'm saying right now is those drug-related offenses correlate very well with consumption of candy and fast food in childhood. And certainly some people are more vulnerable to it than others.
Right.
But there's still an excellent correlation there. And these addictive stimulating foods lead people to want to go for more stronger, because it deadens their body to stimulation. They go for more stimulating substances later on in life, increasing the propensity for drug use. And the relationship is very, very robust.
Interesting.
And I'm also making the link between major depression and fast food, which is very well established in the science literature. And it's not just major depression. It's the fact that it puts a fog over people. When people eat poorly, they can't think as clearly. It lowers intelligence and school performance. It lowers career advancement. And it makes people mildly unhappy and mildly angry and unsatisfied with their life. In other words, they can't solve the difficulties and the stresses of their life, because they're in somewhat of a prison, and they also are suffering with bad health and having to take multiple medications and go to doctors all the time and live with fear of medical diseases. So we're talking about we have a healthcare crisis in America monetarily affecting our economy, but it affects us all individually in our own unique ways that are very tragic.
Yeah, interesting. I read a study once showing that after the 1960s boom in fast food restaurants, young girls began developing breasts and started their menstrual cycles as early as the age of 9. What's your opinion on growth hormones in our food supply and the effects it has on the body?
You're correct with that. And people have no idea that, for example, the average age of puberty when girls had their first menstrual period in the 1850s was age 17 and a half. In Europe, in China, even in the 1920s, it was age 17 and a half. My three daughters went through puberty between 16 and 20 years old, but the point I'm making right now is the same point you're making, is that the diet style in the modern world today, diet is high in growth and factors that promote extra estrogen production, extra growth hormones, and extra IGF-1, which is insulin-like growth factor 1, because our population has been taught to think that the faster your child can grow, the healthier it is. Eat them foods that maximize growth. Give them lots of dairy products, lots of milk and meat, and get them bigger and stronger. And they don't understand that if we cause rapid growth and rapid maturation, we're going to increase the risk of cancer later on in life. And the strongest risk that the medical profession is very clear in the strong risk for breast cancer and later in life is early puberty. If you eat a diet that will cause early puberty to be onset, you have higher circulating estrogen levels and higher growth hormone and higher IGF-1, and the excessive growth develops promotes the growth of cellular replication and extra exposure to estrogen. And you know that certain foods oppose that. So when you eat beans and when you eat onions and mushrooms and green vegetables, they have anti-angiogenic factors that prevent cellular replication and fat growth in the body, whereas the growth hormones and the estrogens promote fat growth and fat storage and cellular replication. And so we're talking here about this meat and sugar, that the high animal protein mixed with the high oil and sugar. It's this combination of like a hamburger with like white flour with meat, with grilled meat, and pizza, cheese on top of white flour. You know, it's when donuts, we mix sugars. So when we particularly mix sugar and protein, ice cream, you know, we're mixing together a lot of insulin with a lot of IGF-1 production. And it creates a hormonal sandwich that promotes fat storage. And fat produces estrogen. It doesn't fat. When we produce more growth hormone, we produce more fat. And we produce more fat, we produce more estrogen. When we produce more fat, we produce more angiogenesis promoters, which promote cellular replication and blood vessel growth to tumors. So it's all interrelated. And this is where modern nutritional science has really enabled us to tell people they don't have to have it happen to them if they don't want to. They can really eat a nutritarian diet that's designed to not have these, features. I always joke around and I say the American diet's been designed by Al-Qaeda.
Makes sense. You know,
it's a deadly diet.
No. Yeah. And when I hear you talking, I can't keep but thinking of the saying, you are what you eat. It really comes down to that. It's like, you know, what you're putting in your body, like with these hormones and antibiotics, and, you know, think before you put it in your mouth. You become those things. And it's, you know, we take that saying for granted, but you are what you eat. And that's what you're saying. You make a profound statement in your book. I love this. You say, eating fast food causes more premature deaths than cigarettes. Why isn't there a Surgeon's General warning on the Big Mac box?
You know, the potato chips, the donuts, the fast food restaurants, the fried foods. What about the foods they fry the French fries in the oil that's been heated all day long over and over again, right? And then that causes carcinogenic changes in the oil. And one serving of French fries a week, 25% increases the breast cancer and prostate cancer. Greater than, you know, we're talking about, there should be warnings on these foods. But, you know, I mean, that's my job. I mean, I want to give people I want people to be very well informed. And I think that that's and you're doing the same type of work, is obviously, if we give people really informed consent, then they'll know that taking drugs for their blood pressure is not the only answer, not the best answer. And getting a stent placement is not the only answer, not even the best answer. Stents don't, you know, so everything we do is to either, the medical profession, you know, is like giving people the opportunity to still eat fast food. They can put a stent in to feel better, so you can still eat fast food. Take some drugs to lower your cholesterol, so you can still eat junk food. Take this drug, you know, instead of telling people how to live healthily, and it's treacherously and tragically causing people to die and suffer needlessly because they think that drugs are our answer to everything. So we have this, you know, this culture that's going, a culture where people think food doesn't matter and drugs are our answer, and the medical profession is going to take care of us and just go for more testing and more treatment.
Yeah. Plus, what about the autoimmune disease epidemic? Do you feel that has a lot to do with the diet? I know it's running rampant the last few years.
Yes, that's true. And you're right, because you said the word 1950s, 1960s, when the birth of the fast food restaurants and more access of, after the World War II, and they started making Tang and Twinkies and Ring-Dings and Spam and instant coffee to go on the battlefield so people can travel with junk food that would never go bad, that we had more fast food and processed foods enter the American life. And that's when we saw more crime develop. Yeah. And we saw more inner city, and we saw more urban crime and more urban problems develop in city areas where they didn't have access to vegetables and processed and wholesome natural foods. And so, so we definitely saw a change in the American life at that point, which is we're still in the same direction today, and we have to stop this. I think you asked me something. I missed the question. What was it again?
Which one? Autoimmune disease?
Autoimmune disease. Oh, that's what I'm saying. You know, at the same time in the 1960s and 50s, we've seen an increase in cancer rates and an increase in autoimmune disease. So what I'm saying is that the increase in cancer rates in America from like 1930 to 1970 at its peak, you know, or 1980, we saw that go up. We also saw autoimmune diseases increase completely parallel to that with the advent of fast food and processed food. So absolutely that's true. And we're seeing the same thing in growth and learning disabilities and in autism in children over the same time frame as we're eating more fast food by the time.
Wow. Tell you what, you made a great case for this fast food genocide boycott here. In the couple minutes we have, anything else you'd like to share about fast food genocide? Why do people need to get this book?
Well, thank you. Yes, because I think that because it's not merely about learning about the bad stuff. It's the history. It's fascinating. And the fact that it's affecting, you know, leading to racism and bigotry and splitting our population apart, I mean, removing the opportunity to have to realize the American dream, how it's affecting our brains, and the fun and the effectiveness of restoring brain function, getting your health back, being happy, and living a great life with delicious food to remedy the problem. I think we all have to work together as Americans to try to support each other, and we all and to want the best for each other, and to have everybody have the opportunity to realize the American dream. And food plays a huge part in all this.
Yeah, well, fantastic. Thanks so much for being with us again. It's always a pleasure having you on the show. To get your copy of Fast Food Genocide, go to drfuhrman.com. That's F-U-H-R-M-A-N. And while you're there, be sure to check out his amazing resource library, articles, recipes, and videos. You can follow Dr. Fuhrman on Twitter at Dr. Fuhrman. For my daily health tweets, follow me at Dr. David Friedman. Share this valuable information you learned today from Dr. Fuhrman with friends, family, coworkers on social media, podcasts. Of all of our shows are available at yourgoodhealthradio.com. You can also subscribe to our weekly podcast on iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.